At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you. Welcome everyone to what is certainly going to be a contentious Wednesday edition of the Damage Report. Not because of politics necessarily, although we will have some of that. But we've just decided about 10 seconds ago that in the last block of our show, we're going to be talking about Red Dead Redemption and J.R. Jackson's ridiculous assertions about it. But not now. We're going to get to it.
All I'm saying is I discovered there's a correlation between John's take on Red Dead Redemption and his support for Donald Trump.
We will have to see about that. But anyway, we have some philosophical disagreements about entertainment in the age of Trump. Anyway, so look, we've got a lot that we're going to get to today. We're going to start off the show in just a little bit with one of the most pathetic attempts to take down, not an elected official, but a government official that I've ever seen by the right wing. So we're going to give you all of that. It is a ridiculous story. I'm going to give a little bit of credit to Don Lemon a little bit later on the show. For something he said about the recent wave of political violence that we've had. And really exciting, we're gonna have later on the second half of the show, for the first time ever on the show, Kyle Kalinske of the appropriately named Kyle Kalinske Show is going to come on, and we're gonna break down some recent news developments, talk a little bit about the midterms, try to get an idea of what we should expect just a few days away when that finally comes. So it should be a lot of fun.
I think so, let's make it happen.
And we also, we have one other story. If you are a deeply racist person, how can you blow off a little steam and feel a little bit better? We found a woman who has a technique. I don't know if you saw this story.
I did. She should play Red Dead Redemption by herself, and then maybe it'll
hold,
help her out.
Hold.
Just saying.
We're going to talk about it at the end of the show. We got to do the politics first. Anyway, the thing about cowboys is, no, I'm kidding. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it later. I swear to God. Sorry. No more cowboys. Okay. To get a perfect pelt, you need to find an animal. Now, anyway, okay, you're gonna hear about some people that you've probably, thankfully, if you're lucky and you don't spend a lot of time on Twitter, haven't heard about in right-wing media and punditry. I don't even know exactly what to call it, but a couple of weirdos on the right decided that they wanna take down Robert Mueller. They don't like the investigation that he's doing. They're worried that at some point in the next 30 years, he's actually gonna tell us what he found, since it's taking forever. And so they crafted apparently a plan to take him down by accusing him of sexually assaulting women. And so look, I wanna tell you in advance, we're gonna break down all the details right now, but understand that there are still some things that we don't understand about this story, that it's possible that they'll come out later on today or in the very near future. There are very weird things about this story, but we're just gonna tell you what we know at this point. So what has apparently happened is over the past couple of weeks, a number of journalists have gotten emails from a woman purporting that she had been approached to lie about Robert Mueller having sexually assaulted her, and that she would be paid, if she said that that had happened. The problem was initially that the various journalists attempting to track down the person based on the name that she provided have been unable to find any proof that she actually exists. And so it seemed like another one of these attempts by the right to make the media talk about a thing, and then, it turns out they got trolled and now the media looks bad. It is possible we're still in that, but we do have some more details, so we'll have to see. Take everything with a grain of salt. After that first person, another suspicious email, first reported by The Atlantic, was sent on October 22nd to Jennifer Taub, a professor at Vermont Law School. Sent by a man who identified himself as Simon Frick, a researcher at Surefire Intelligence, he said he was interested in Ms. Taub's encounters with Mr. Mueller and was willing to pay for the information. So this is another person who, similarly as was reported with the first woman's emails, was apparently trying to solicit information about Mueller. Now, the problem with Mr. Frick is that Mr. Frick apparently isn't a frickin' real person. He appears to be a false identity. His LinkedIn profile features a photograph of the actor Christoph Waltz. Look, if you could look like Christoph Waltz, I get why you would want to do that. But we don't get to all be Christoph Waltz. And after, you know, years of therapy, we get past that. And by the way, he works for Surefire Intelligence, which is just a great name. All of the people listed on LinkedIn have profile photographs of other people. Some are Mr. Waltz, Bar Raphael, the model. Others are simply stock photos of random people. And this is supposedly the actual staff of Surefire Intelligence, the group that is going out trying to find women willing to say that Robert Mueller had sexually assaulted them. And that is where these individuals that I was talking about, the weirdo pundits online, come in. So first of all, you have Jacob Wall, I think it's pronounced, I've really only seen it written. He's a 20-year-old conservative, most known for, he became Twitter famous because every time Donald Trump would tweet, inside of just seconds, he would respond with incisive commentary like, America loves you, Mr. Trump, and things like that. He does the right-wing memes and everything. And because he would be the first to respond, people would like it and they'd follow him. There you see him trying to be the Wolf of Wall Street or something like that, I don't know. He was apparently some sort of investor or hedge fund manager who I believe was the first person that Wall Street basically unilaterally barred from ever being involved with them again, because he's a gigantic fraud, effectively. And now he's found a new area to move into. So here he had been saying over the past day or two, look out, we've got some news coming, reports coming out that Robert Mueller is about to be accused by women of sexually assaulting someone. So that was like 2 days ago. And then yesterday, this entire story blows up. So how is he actually involved in this? Well, Surefire Intelligence, which we were talking about, a telephone number for them redirects to Mr. Wall's mother's voicemail. Not his, mind you, this hedge fund manager, but his mom's voicemail. And internet domain records for Surefire's website are also tied to Mr. Wall. And you remember how we were talking about the pictures being sort of weird on Surefire Intelligence? Well, they do have one other employee, a Mr. Matthew Cohen. And it turns out Matthew Cohen is apparently, like in one of the original Zelda games, the shadow version of Jacob Wall. It's not him, it's his shadow half from the Nega realm. But that is apparently him who's running this. So he is attempting, in the wake of all of this blowing up in his face in epic proportions, saying that he's not affiliated with this in any way, but someone's going to jail. Maybe not him, but certainly his shadow self.
Well, this is okay. There's a lot of layers to this, obviously, I'm not sure if you've even finished all the layers.
I don't know. It's very confusing.
Yeah, there's the players involved in this think, aha, I've got it. And they think it's so straightforward and simple to duplicate the conspiracy theories that they place on many progressives or liberal thinkers or Democrats, whoever you want to label it as.
Like what?
But whenever there's sexual assault allegations or rape allegations from the past, and specifically the most recent big name was Kavanaugh.
So they think those are fake.
They always think they're fake, and they're like, "Well, this is a deep state conspiracy where they trumped up these charges, they paid off these women to do this, this, and that, and come up with this story that they can't even remember the full details of from 35 years ago, and it's just killing us." Wait till right after Kavanaugh, it was some random person I think said, "Wait until we do this to one of their guys." Mm-hmm. Or even maybe an elected official said, hey, when Democrats get into power, we're going to do that to them and see how they like it.
There was, I think, like a female county official in the Republican Party who said, whoever is the next Democratic nominee raped me in 1970.
Yeah, and we're going to go for this anyway. So once they try to implement this plan and duplicate this plot, they find out that they're as dumb as we thought they were, because it's so simple. Let's just tell this one woman to pay someone off, and then I'll set up this investigative scheme online and then duplicate my face multiple times, maybe throw a couple actors on there because nobody recognizes them, and just say this is some actual put together scheme. If you think that's how it works, you should probably investigate how these diabolical lefties did it for so long, because you end up looking as dumb as you actually are.
Yeah.
So on top of that, it also shows how much they actually don't give a damn about real victims. They think none of these women are any victims in any of these situations, no matter who was, unless it was Harvey Weinstein. And then also that when and it shows it oddly, it shows how quickly and easy it is to disprove fake, maybe sexual assault encounters or rape encounters. If you actually look into it with any kind of depth, you find out when there's holes in the story.
Yeah.
And when they try and search many of these holes, there's not that many, but in theirs, there is.
Yeah, it's just massive projection. I mean, they say that, like with Roy Moore, they were saying that these women were paid, even though the women weren't paid by the Washington Post. They would never pay sources and things like that. In this case, they were saying to these women, we will give you $50,000 if you will say that he raped you. Like, that's absolutely absurd. It's just huge projection about this. And we expected it in advance. But now, look, in this case, Jacob Wohl is a complete moron. He is so stupid that only on Twitter could he get any sort of notoriety or fame or whatever. And he decided that he was going to take on the former director of the FBI, a guy who is effectively the legal equivalent of a great white shark. And he just spread blood all over himself and jumped in the water with Robert Mueller. You stupid, stupid idiot. But he decided to do that. And the thing is, I'm going to go over just slightly. While this is ridiculous, and you know it's not going to work, they're not going to take down Robert Mueller, there are a couple of consequences that we can rest assured are going to happen. One is that many conservatives will simply come out of this story with everything that we just told you and say, oh, Robert Mueller raped people. They will believe that just because they want to believe that.
Yep.
But second of all, and what I'm more sure of, is that the way that the internet works, Jacob Wohl, or whoever, however you pronounce it, comes out of this looking like a complete idiot. And in 2 days, he won't care. He won't care at all. He's going to be brought back onto Fox News. He's going to get a book deal. He's going to be even bigger because it doesn't matter what you do, how fraudulent, how stupid, how self-owny it is. As long as you get your name out there, it ends up working out for you.
It'll be that, or if they don't accept him that way, he'll be considered a registered Democrat who was a false flag operation to look like an idiot conservative that was trying to frame Mueller so he can get Trump off the hook, if you can follow that line of.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, you must unlearn what you have learned. And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Thinking, because that's what it is. Also, by the way, one small thing. The charges that could be brought up could be obstruction of justice because you're trying to bring down an investigator that's going after a legitimate investigation.
Yeah.
So chew on all that.
Yeah. Witch hunt. Okay, we're going to take our first break. We come back, lots more to get to. We'll see you in just a few. Thank you, Bart, for that Halloween music there. I could hear that. I wanted to say one more thing before we move on. I want to say one more thing about this Jacob Wohl story. We sort of got into this, but this is a demonstration, not just of right-wing stupidity, but if people just totally falsely accuse high-profile individuals of sexual assaults, you can disprove it. Like, it is actually difficult. They want to pretend, they want you to believe that women are just throwing these random anonymous accusations around. We never find out any of the details. The men are fired and then carted off to jail, and that is just how it goes. In 10 minutes, a man's life is over. But that's not actually how it works out. People actually do look into these stories. And if there was some sort of ridiculous plot like this to take down people like Kavanaugh, and the allegations were all falsified, there are lots of people across the country that will work to uncover the truth there. You can rest assured of that.
They don't know that, because when those things happen, when investigations happen, and when these accusations are looked into and credible details come out, they go like this. Mm-hmm. So they never heard those credible details. They just go, hey, you know, they're just accusing me, and then everybody's believing them. Because then when the details come out, they don't listen. Mm-hmm. So they go, nobody said anything, because they never heard it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you end up in a country where I saw on Fox News some guy, or no, I think it was NBC, might have been investigating them, interviewed a few people, and a guy said that Hillary Clinton sent that bomb to herself last week. And presumably, I guess, sent the same bombs as everyone else, since they were sent by the same person. But I don't think he thought about it in that detail. Okay, with that, why don't we turn to the violence, actually. I have been curious since the wave of attempted mail bombings and the Kroger shooting and the synagogue shooting to see how the media is actually covering that a few days out. And not curious enough to actually watch a bunch of the mainstream media. I'm trying to preserve my sanity. But I did catch one clip that Don Lemon was talking about this with Chris Cuomo. And I want to give him a little bit of credit for being willing to identify a few obvious truths about politics these days, as you'll see in this clip.
But we keep thinking that the biggest terror threat is something else. Some people who are marching, you know, towards the border, like it's imminent. And when the last time they did this, a couple hundred people came, and they, you know, most of them did get into the country. So we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right. And we have to start doing something about them. There is no travel ban on them. There is no ban on, you know, they had the Muslim ban. There is no white guy ban. So what do we do about that?
Okay, so you had noticed this morning. What did you think?
Well, upon seeing it, I knew there was going to be I can't believe Don Lemon would want to ban white guys or say that there's white right-wing terrorism in the country. I can't believe all these things that are factually based and are backed up by real numbers. I can't believe he'd say it. I feel like this is deja vu. I wish I remembered the story, because it was on the damage report. We talked about how there's this outrage when someone says something that is backed by facts and you go crazy over it, but then you can, well, your president specifically, can come forward on his first day of announcing his presidency and spew blatant lies.
Yeah.
Broad swath and just painting all these folks in one kind of picture, and you go, yes! Which one is it, bro? He's obviously making the point of the things you already believe in. You're supposed to ban people that you're afraid of, that you think are killing you on a mass scale and are coming to get you every 5 seconds. So when there's the reality of these people that are really doing this, what do you want to do about them? Nothing. Yeah. Yeah. But they missed that whole thing, because it turns into, I can't believe this reverse racism from this black man on TV would say such a thing. Maybe think about it for a second.
I'm sure he will be criticized quite a bit. But as you point out, I mean, if you look at the numbers, at the sort of people that shoot up places and, you know, domestic terror in America, like, chances are, dude's gonna look a lot more like me than like some other groups in the world. That's just the truth. And he will be criticized a lot, because you're not supposed to say what is abundantly clear. This is gonna seem tangential, but I think it's related. One of my frustrations recently with the occasional episode of the Bill Maher show that I see is the way that he talks about PC culture and things like that. Now, he's obviously frustrated with it, because he occasionally says offensive jokes and gets criticism, and he doesn't want to. So in a self-interested sort of way, he attacks people being overly PC. But my frustration with the way that people like him talk about political correctness is that political correctness, the way what we say it means and what it means in practice is not the same thing. We say it is people saying things that are unpopular or whatever, things you're not supposed to say. That, I think, is a fairly fair, accurate definition. That's not actually how it acts out in practice. Because what I just said, there's no political affiliation there. But in practice, the only things that are called PC or politically correct are when libs or leftists say that some conservative attack against some sort of outgroup or some group like that, maybe we shouldn't do that. That's political correctness. Don Lemon is gonna get criticized for pointing out rightly that domestic terrorists tend to be white people. He will be attacked. And the reason he will be attacked is because saying that is not politically correct. In practice, you are not supposed to attack right-wingers for their political violence. If I criticize some excess of American right-wing Christianity, I will be attacked for that, because it's not politically correct to say that. But people like Bill Maher, unfortunately, put forward this very carefully from the right wing, I would say, frame that the only political correctness is leftists getting out of control. True. It is not the case. There are many areas where right wingers are protected from any critique or criticism whatsoever because of effective political correctness, even if that's not the way that we define it.
I hadn't thought about it. That's very true, because it goes to this whole snowflake idea. Like, oh, you guys are snowflakes, but then they're offended by so many things that aren't even really, that aren't even really affecting their lives, where people that on their demographic level aren't being persecuted and sometimes killed over. Mm-hmm. There was, because you're making a good point, you totally made me forget mine.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's good. No, it was, it means it was on point. There's,
this is kind of- You want a sec to think?
Yes.
Well, I will add on to what you said. In terms of the safe spaces, again, safe space, that is a thing that we would define it as a person who doesn't want to be confronted by inconvenient truths and things like that. They want to be protected or whatever. That's the definition. But in practice, again, that is only the case when it is a leftist and being triggered. You know, we define it in a way that it doesn't have any political attachment whatsoever, but in practice it does. I saw yesterday, if there was to be a photo attached to the concept of being triggered in a dictionary, did you know that Ben and Jerry's came out with a new flavor? It's like pecan resistance or something like that. And right-wing Twitter people lost their minds over it. I'm boycotting Ben and Jerry's. I need a safe fridge where I won't be confronted by this sort of lactose intolerance. And they were triggered by ice cream. And they wanted a safe space. Perhaps Bluebell or something can provide it. I don't know. They have some good flavors too.
They do. You were talking about how people that look like you would be lumped into this group, because no one knows from looking at your face whether or not you're a left wing or right wing or all this stuff, right? So imagine if we decide, because we're afraid of right wing terrorists that happen to look like, that are happen to be, mostly be white guys, if we round up John Adarola. That's wrong.
And you, thank
so
you.
Then don't when that happens, so when that happens, and then John gets swept up in the sweep of guys who look like John, John has a right to say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't have the policy that we round up white guys just because of what we look like. And if you have a second to think, conservative thinker, go, maybe that's what we're doing for other folks that don't happen to be white guys. Maybe they're Latino guys. Maybe they're Muslim-looking guys. A lot of times these folks aren't even Muslim that you're targeting. Maybe they're black guys. Maybe there's certain kinds of women you're looking at and you go, they're the type of person I don't like. Let me take them all because I'm afraid of a few of them.
And they get protected by the words we use. The next time a bunch of crazy white right wingers head down to the border, the Minutemen or bikers or whatever, I'm calling it a caravan. That's what it is. If they're all driving down there together, that is a caravan of hate headed down to the border.
Yep. It's the point being made. You don't want it to happen to white guys. I agree. So how about stop accepting it happening to other people? You only think in your own spectrum of who you are. And other than that, everyone else, screw them.
Yeah, but especially don't let it happen to white guys. Okay, we're gonna take another break. When we come back, some absolutely fabulous racism. And then I guess, I mean, what is it called? Self-care? I guess racists need self-care too, and we've got an example of it after this. Reporting live from the nightmare before Christmas, I'm John Adarola, and Jared Jackson joins me in this ghoulish studio today.
Can I disappoint everyone?
What's that?
I've never seen that movie.
I actually only recently watched the whole movie like a year ago.
I thought you were gonna be the first one to give me trouble.
Yeah. And I had a big argument with my girlfriend recently, because she doesn't like it. And so she says nobody likes it. So, have you ever had that where like
absolutely.
You hate something so much so you pretend you just nobody could possibly like it? And I told her like, no, it's like it's a huge hit, a classic, and she would not accept it. I'm like, they come out with anniversary editions all the time. It is a massive movie. Nope, I don't like it.
The only thing you can make that declaration about regarding Halloween is candy corn. I hate candy corn, and you know what? It's true. No one likes candy corn.
You know what else is true? I like candy corn.
No, you don't. Stop lying to me.
I like candy corn. I even like candy pumpkins. The candy that if you eat two, it's too many. That's never before been hit with candy before.
Ask your girlfriend. She's going to tell you that you don't like candy corn.
Okay, well, I'm going to test it later. let's move on to the next story. A 63-year-old woman in Indiana has been arrested, apparently, after leaving a racist letter on the door of a new black family in her neighborhood. It is... So we're calling it a racist letter. I'll let you be the judge. Here is what she put. I'm not even gonna try to read it, but if you could put up the graphic. No N-words wanted in this neighborhood. This is a white neighborhood. Some people find N-word stressful, capital. Mm. Your N-word kid is not welcome.
Yeah.
Jesus. This
is good.
This was not a letter that was unearthed from the 40s. This was left recently. And so you might wonder, well, if it is this woman, this Deborah Cantwell, how did they actually find out that it was her? Well, some neighbors who had gotten texts from her shared them with law enforcement, apparently. And one text said, "I am stressing now that we are going to get black neighbors. I am hoping that more people look at the house and an all-white family are the ultimate buyers. I am afraid the stress of black neighbors could put me in the hospital. My blood pressure is elevated just thinking about the possibility." And so
sounds
she
like
was
a
charged
you problem,
with,
Deborah.
That does. She was charged with misdemeanor counts of intimidation and criminal mischief, and she now has a protection order against her saying that she has to stop stalking her neighbors. Yeah. So look, she apparently feels better now. Like obviously she was stressed out, her blood pressure was up and all that. You know, she was talking about it. She feels better now. She says that she was just raging, trying to vent. I just needed to let off some steam, and it was the I'm not a violent person, so I didn't think it was any big deal. I'm sorry that it caused so much ruckus, but I feel like I released some anger writing that letter. I'm glad you feel
glad
better,
you
Deborah.
Got that all worked out, Deborah. So I'm not a violent person is also a go-to for many violent people. Many people said, I've never hurt anyone in my life, and then you find out they've hurt many people in their lives. Or they go, it was just a letter threatening, I guess, your existence in the world. That's all it was. I was just talking about your kid is not welcome here with a racial slur. Totally not violent. It doesn't hurt at all. This is the mindset of someone who their world ends right here. Mm. Nothing else matters except for right in their brain. So you're worried about this. Your stress. Who else's stress could you possibly be worried about? It maybe this kid. Maybe this person who gets up in the morning and sends their kid off to school. I don't know how old their son was. Maybe their 11-year-old kid leaves for school and you're like, I wonder if my crazy neighbor is raging right now and needs to release some other kind of stress in another way with a baseball bat, with a gun, with a knife or two. Yeah. So the stresses of those people don't matter because she's still living in a world where those people their existence doesn't exist. They're less than human. She's more important than them.
Yeah.
And this is the mindset of someone who's been allowed to bring these back forward. She's texting other neighbors saying this and that. This is why being ashamed of being a piece of garbage that you are is very important. And I know us libs keep linking things back to the racist in the White House right now, but when you're given free rein and acceptance to say these things, you will say them. And after you say them, you will do them. That's why it's a big deal. We know there's a lot of racist folks in the country. They're always going to be around, but they should be ashamed of it. And once collectively we say, you should be ashamed of yourself, maybe they'll start being ashamed of themselves instead of proud of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you said it about the stress of the family. Like historically, when racist things are being posted on the houses of black families, has that ended well? I mean, how many people have been killed after that sort of thing? Like, so if I was the parents, I wouldn't feel comfortable living in that neighborhood.
Continue
anymore.
On saying, sell your house. If you sell your house now and get out of here soon enough, you'll be fine. And I hope you have deep pockets. I was trying to figure what the maybe you'll lose some money. I was trying to figure the meaning behind, I hope you have deep pockets was.
I assume it's something
letter.
About that. But yeah, like in effect, how dissimilar is this actually from just burning a cross on their lawn? The message is exactly the same. You are not wanted. We are going to terrorize you until we drive you away. Now, thankfully, one of the people that she sent the text to at least shared it, implying that that sort of sentiment isn't necessarily universal in that neighborhood. But also, like to the racists, she says her concern is that this neighborhood is going to be damaged, that we had a good neighborhood, but it's going to become a bad neighborhood. Like the sort of neighborhood where people write slurs and post them on each other's houses. Like, what could this black family do that would rise to the level of what you are doing to oppose them? And again, I know that we're talking to people who fundamentally don't think about their actions in that way. But what effect are you actually having? What neighborhood are you creating? What world are you helping to contribute to making?
Well, also the other part of that world she's contributing to is the disproportionate level of enforcement on black folks, because you said they always get away with it. Who believes that? Yeah. That's again not looking at the reality of your world right around you. So black folks always get away with it. What's the it? Living, moving in,
house,
having a kid,
being a family.
They're getting away with it. existence is what she's worried about them getting away with. You have to ask the second question, be like, what's the it, Deborah?
Well, that message is someone who has been told to hate and fear this group and doesn't even necessarily know exactly why. They just know that they have that anxiety. And then it is expressed in that way that, like with Donald Trump's speech, has no details.
She's been damaged, and that's all she's got left. I'm not going to say anything else about her.
Okay, I think we said enough. Okay, let's just quickly, I don't want to spend too much time on this. I just want to briefly mention the whole BS caravan narrative.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is lying to you about the caravan. He's lying because he wants you to vote Republican. He's lying to scare you, and he's lying relentlessly, not caring what damage it actually does to the people in the caravan or to our country as well. I just want to briefly mention a few of the crazy lies. So new documents sent to Newsweek by a Pentagon official outlined that this deployment of troops that you've probably heard a lot about, unfortunately, dubbed Operation Faithful Patriot, in case the fact that this was an attempt to influence the election wasn't obvious enough, reveals that the government continues its plans to send troops to the border despite anticipating that, quote, based on historic trends, only a small percentage of migrants will likely reach the border. So the Pentagon knows that only a very small percentage of those currently still in the extreme south of Mexico. Did you know that, right-wingers? Did you know that there's still very much at the south end of Mexico? Most of them will not make it to the border. Donald Trump knows that thanks to the Pentagon and still lies and says that we're being invaded. On Laura Ingraham, he says that these reports about the caravan population going down, don't believe them. It's a lie, and he knows that because he's very good at determining crowd sizes. I will ask you this. Of all of the skills Donald Trump has, where would you rank his ability to tell the size of a crowd? And so it's fallen by literally thousands of people. The right-wing media doesn't want you to know that. Fox News isn't gonna tell you that. It's already far smaller than it was, and they still have to cross like 90% of Mexico. In addition, he tweeted this, the caravans are made up of some very tough fighters and people fought back hard and viciously against Mexico at northern border before breaking through. Mexican soldiers hurt, were unable or unwilling to stop caravan. If you are wondering why it is that the mainstream media didn't report on this caravan literally fighting through Mexican soldiers, that's because it did not happen. It is just a lie. It is made whole cloth. It was pulled not from the NSA or the NRO or any other intelligence agency. It was pulled right out of our president's ass. That is what it is. Do you know what they were actually doing recently when he says they were fighting Mexican soldiers? They have been invited into a community in, again, the south part of Mexico. And if you show this picture, you'll show that the many kids, because it is a very high percentage of kids, spent last night watching Coco on a projector that people in that neighborhood played for them. This is the group of hardened gang members and criminals that Donald Trump wants you to believe are invading the country. He knows, thanks to the Pentagon, that that is not actually happening. We can see from the evidence that these are mostly mothers and children and elderly people. But he wants to lie to you to scare you in advance of the midterm elections. Don't fall for it. This is a misuse of the military and a misuse of our time as a country.
And money. Sending military
huge amount of money sections
is for your election purposes or your concerns in the election is absolutely un-American. So all this is also based in lies that come with discriminatory policies. They're strong. They're going to run across the entire country of Mexico in 30 more minutes. They're hardened criminals. They broke through soldiers. It's the same thing. Look, your racist representative Steve King likes to talk about the cantaloupe calves. They can run. They got huge calves. They're superhuman. It's all based in they're stronger, faster, and scarier than you are. I thought we were tough.
Apparently not so tough. Gotta be scared of these kids. After they watch Coco, they're gonna go into some sort of blood rage. Okay, ridiculous. Okay, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, Kyle Kalinske's gonna join us. We're gonna be breaking down some of the big news of the last week after this. So we are caught in the middle between last week's absolutely horrendous news, political violence, all of that, and the upcoming midterms in just a few days. And joining us now on the show to help break it down, Kyle Kalinske. Kyle, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Excited to have you on. So you are the host of The Kyle Kalinske Show. It's perfectly suited for you, The Kyle Kalinske Show.
I'd say so.
We're very glad to have you here. And there's a lot I want to talk to you about. Hopefully, we'll be able to fit it all in. First, though, I saw that Istanbul had released an update on the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. He apparently was strangled almost immediately, now we're finding out, after entering the Saudi consulate and dismembered shortly thereafter, although they haven't still found the body. What are your thoughts about this developing story and the lack of any real US response to what happened?
I think it's sad and predictable. But I also think that there should be a robust and clear response from the Democrats and from, honestly, the rest of the developed world, because it's simply unacceptable. If we allow Saudi Arabia to get away with this, there's nothing that they can't get away with. I mean, they just killed a journalist. And what I would do if I was in charge is, first of all, immediately cut off the $100 billion weapons deal with them. I would put economic pressure on them to clean up their human rights record. And we don't see that happening because, well, one of the reasons I would say is Donald Trump took about $300,000 from top Saudi officials so that they could stay at his hotel. And this is why there's one of the reasons why there's an emoluments case against him that's proceeding in court, because you can't have a president that's basically bought by foreign governments, because they're going to bias policy in favor of that government.
I agree. You know, I noticed last week Bernie Sanders had an editorial where he was calling for us to pull out of any involvement in the war in Yemen with Saudi Arabia as a result of this. And the day after, actually, Rand Paul had a very strong statement about that. In this sort of case, because I guess maybe it would be good to have some bipartisanship, would you want to work with someone like Rand Paul, who obviously we disagree with on a number of other issues?
Oh, absolutely. I think that whenever we have to be policy substance focused, and when you do that, what you'll find is there's a number of areas where it makes sense to work with the more libertarian leaning right wing, because I mean, when you really get down to the specifics of it, people like us, we're libertarian left. We're very, you know, libertarian on social issues. But when it comes to economic issues, we have massive disagreements. And what I say is, don't give an inch on the economic stuff and fight them tooth and nail and argue until you're blue in the face on the economic stuff. But when it comes to issues like war, when it comes to issues like the drug war, on that front, not only should we work with them, I actively encourage it. And I think that that's one of the best ways to actually get stuff done.
You know, so I've noticed over the past few days that story about the killing of Jamal Khashoggi has largely left from the media. We've been continuing to cover it here on the Damage Report, but you know, in part because of good, I mean, there's the political violence, the mail bombs and stuff like that, that's going to get a lot of coverage. But then you also have this sort of led from the politician's side attempts to get people to focus on other things, like the caravan, for instance. Like you crowd out a lot of other news when you talk so much about that. Is there anything about the caravan that you think people should care about that the media should actually be covering? Or is it just elections-based fear, a fear-mongering?
It's election-based fear-mongering. So the caravan is right out of Karl Rove's playbook in 2004. He made a big issue about specific anti-gay policies to rile up the Republican base to get them to the polls. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. They're doing basically fear-mongering over immigrants and refugees, people seeking asylum. And it honestly is the oldest trick in the elite's playbook. It's divide and conquer. It's an attempt to get middle-class white people to blame poor black and brown people for their problems, when of course the reality is the problem is it's the corporations, it's the billionaires, it's the rigging of the rules against working class people. And as soon as people wake up and realize that poor white people, middle class white people have a lot more in common with poor and middle class black and brown people, then there will be a real class awakening and we'll be able to fight this class war, which has been waged against us, the middle class and the poor, for decades now.
Kyle, it's JR of the, not the JR Jackson show. I'm working on it. So when it comes, you just talked about, you know, policy-based issues, and if you're as liberals working sometimes with libertarians. But when it comes to something like with the caravan, when a lot of times there's nothing based in policy. So the people that you're arguing against for even elections, because this is obviously brought up as an election issue, you bring up policies, and then they're bringing up these emotional-based fear tactics. How do you have that fight? Because it's an age-old question. I'm curious what you think. If you're giving policy and people get bored with it, but they're incited by emotion and anger and discriminatory policies, how do you win that fight? Eventually, you have to address the craziness that they're coming at you with.
I'm optimistic on issues like this, because I feel like every time I make that point that this is straight out of the playbook of the elites and they're playing you, I feel like you could actually convert many people with that. I mean, everybody on the left already goes, oh, of course that's what it is. We know that's what it is. We've been talking about that for a while. Right. But then even people who, you know, might be moderates or independents, and even some of the remaining reasonable people on the right, they go, you know what? That is kind of weird how we have all these incredibly serious issues, like 29 million people without health insurance and wages falling. And under Trump, he said, oh, I'm not going to outsource, but there's been 93,000 jobs outsourced under his administration. It is weird that instead of talking about the real substance, what we're doing is talking about a caravan full of like 20 people as if that's a giant problem. So I think that this all gets back to the point of, we fight where we disagree and we don't give an inch. And this is one of those issues where we're supposed to fight. We're supposed to stand up. We're supposed to call this out for what it is, which is fear-mongering and exploiting xenophobia and bigotry in order to try to get elected in the most cynical of ways. So as soon as we really start leading the argument and getting that through everybody's head, that this is a straight out of the playbook of the elites and they're trying to divide and conquer, I think we win that argument. It might take time, but I think we win that argument.
I hope so. We do have to take a short break. Kyle, can you stick around on the other side for one or two more questions?
Sure, sure.
Awesome. I want to talk to you a little bit about the midterms, but we will be back in just a few. This music makes me think that I'm in like the It sequel or something. I am a little bit terrified. So we're on with Kyle Kalinske. Kyle, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, man.
So I wanted to ask you, the midterms now are, I think, according to our midterm countdown, just 6 days away. You know, as we always say, anything can happen, but there's less days for anything to happen in. What is your gut saying about the way the midterms are likely to turn out?
You know, I have to give the not very entertaining answer here because these are my actual thoughts, but I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. I feel like there's a chance the Democrats take back the House, but they're not going to take back the Senate. I feel like perhaps it'll be, I think it might be a little bit of a stretch to call it a blue wave, because even though Donald Trump is a disaster, when you look at his poll numbers, at least according to one poll from last week, he actually was even polling better than Obama was at this time in office, which is hard to wrap your mind around. But the fact of the matter is, and something he does better than maybe almost any other politician I've ever seen, is that he always goes and shores up his base. That's what all of these rallies are about. That's why he's going around the country. So I think it's going to be an interesting election. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out. Obviously, I hope for a giant blue wave, but I think the Democrats will pick up seats, but perhaps not as many as people expect.
Okay. One last question. Just want to have a little bit of fun. Let's say that you were given supreme power over the universe. You can determine the outcome of one race in these midterms. Which one would you determine?
I have to give two. I just have to.
Okay.
Okay. We need Richard Ojeda to be Carol Miller. That would be huge because it's a plus 49 district. Yeah. It's a plus 49 Republican district. And he's polling about even with her, which
That's
is amazing.
Crazy.
It shows
insane.
You that progressive populism really wins. And then, of course, come on, Beto O'Rourke versus Ted Cruz.
I thought that's what you'd say. I wasn't 100% sure. But yeah, imagine the concession speech that Ted Cruz, that sad sack, would have to give.
Yes.
That'd be delightful.
And every Justice Democrat I want to win, of course, I have to say.
Yeah, and thankfully it looks like a bunch are probably going to. So
absolutely.
In that respect, it looks like it's going to be a good night.
Yes.
Well, Kyle, sure. Thank you so much for coming on. If people want to see more of your content, obviously it's all over the place, YouTube and a number of other places, the Kyle Kalinske Show. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Have
Thank
a good one,
man.
John and JR.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, we only have like 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
We're about to wrap up. Okay, so we were having a disagreement.
Oh, I didn't even forget about it.
This is non-political. See, you think it is crazy that Red Dead Redemption 2, which I just heard in its first 3 days made $750 million. This is the biggest 3-day opening for any piece of entertainment in world history.
Wow.
I think GTA 5 might have been more. You think it is absurd that they don't have multiplayer?
It's absurd that they don't. You need to progress with the times, right? Fine. It's seen as a single player game. That's okay. I didn't say eliminate that.
Ooh, that looks
but
good.
The fact that you go through all this trouble, you just made, what, $750 million in a day, you said? But, oh,
no,
woe is me, creators. We can't come up with another way that you can actually interact with other people on a game in 2018 when that's a normal thing, right? Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is I feel like you misunderstood my point to a degree.
Maybe intentionally.
I'm not saying, hey, they shouldn't have the original thing. Just give someone an option.
But they're going to in like a month.
Why in a month?
Because they want to fine tune it. See, Rockstar perfects things. That's what they do. They've actually gotten a lot of criticism for overworking their employees. On the main show, we did a story about the ridiculous sort of enforced overtime there.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But they want it to be perfect. And look, historically, there have been some games that are intended to be multiplayer. Uh-huh. Some are stories that you play out.
That's cool.
Mario, Zelda, all of these
things.
Think
about it this way. If a Pixar makes movie, it takes them 10 years to make it because it's that detailed. Mm-hmm. But then you go watch the movie, and then after an hour and a half, they go, sorry, you guys, we actually want to perfect it, so I'm glad you paid your $10 for this movie. Come back in 3 more months and watch the last 30 minutes that we decided to make perfect. Hey, make the whole damn thing before you give it to me. What are you doing? Why is it half-assed?
They do spin-offs of movies all the time and sequels and things like that. That's
the movie
more.
Is complete when they present it. That's okay. All I'm saying. Why can't the game be complete?
I like movies. I'll go to a movie, but then it's like, why can't I interact with the movie in other ways? Why do I just have to watch it? Why is light just hitting my eyeballs?
Like, watch it in its entirety, you mean?
Anyway, the reason I'm talking about it is because this is right now my thing that is keeping me sane, being a cowboy, thanks to our terrible politics. And it's awesome. Go play it. Don't listen to this naysaying.
Go play it. It's fine. I'm not
naysaying. Naysaying. As horses. Okay, thank you, JR, as always, for coming on Wednesdays. Thank you for watching, everybody. By the way, if you want to become a member, tyt.com/John is a great place to do it.
Wow.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/tyt. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.